Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a donation online at loe.org or call me at 617-629-3638. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. The obesity epidemic is spreading around the world. According to a UN report, more than 300 million people are obese, and closer to home, about 60% of Americans are overweight. Overeating and chronic diseases associated with obesity are literally killing us. But as Living on Earth's Helen Palmer recently learned, food could also be our salvation. Helen joins me now in the studio. Hi, Helen. Seems to me that food is the problem. How can it also help?
Well, Steve, you know Hippocrates, that founding father of modern medicine?
Oh, yeah, sure. First, do no harm, he said.
Right. But he also said, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. Now, there's a number of researchers out there who are taking Hippocrates at his word and updating that with a healthy dose of modern technology. Take something called farming. That's farming with a PH.
In PH, you mean as in pharmacy?
Exactly. Now, that's where researchers sort of engineer plants to grow pharmaceutical drugs. It's absolutely fascinating, Steve. I'll get to that in a bit. But first, let me tell you about the work Henry Thompson's doing. He's a cancer researcher at Colorado State University. Thompson says that underlying all chronic disease, you know, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, are similar metabolic disruptions.
Metabolic? You mean the way we metabolize or use our food you're talking about?
Sort of. What he says is that in diseases like this, at the cellular level, glucose, sugar, you know, is being handled differently. And that causes inflammation, and that inflammation causes damage. So Dr. Thompson's prescription is veggies, to prevent damage in the first place.
Plant foods, because of the way plants have developed over time, have a rich source of chemicals that can positively impact those same cellular processes that, when dysregulated, lead to these chronic diseases.
So basically, you're saying if we eat the right foods, we might not get sick in the first place.
That's exactly right.
Sort of a physician, farmer, and chef, heal thyself?
Right. What Professor Thompson says is that plants have had to fight off microbes and pests and environmental stresses. They've developed powerful chemicals to help. Those same chemicals actually protect within the human cells.
So what kinds of plant foods has he been studying?
Well, he's been looking at the staples, you know, crops like rice, wheat, corn, potatoes. And Thompson's done a lot of research testing various types of dry beans on mice to see which varieties protect them best against cancer.
This is the common bean. So an example would be black bean or a kidney bean. They differ in their health-promoting activity relative to cancer. Turns out that so far we found that dry beans from the Andean center of domestication seem to have more health benefit. But all beans are good. So what's the advice again? Half a cup a day, every day.
Beans, good for the heart.
Well, yes, indeed. But by the way, those Andean varieties include kidney and black and cranberry beans. Thompson says he's found that the variety matters with all food groups. So, say, Red Delicious or Granny Smith apples or Peruvian purple or Yukon gold potatoes can have different beneficial effects. Right now, though, there isn't enough hard evidence to say you should eat one variety rather than another. He says eat lots of varieties and many different food groups.
Uh-oh, so this means my grandmother was right. Eat my cabbages and broccoli and the squashes and tomatoes and...
Yeah, and don't forget the rutabagas and the onions and the garlic.
Okay, so, well, Helen, tell me now about the farming with a pH. Now, it seems to me that growing drugs isn't particularly new. There are lots of familiar therapies that come from plants. The heart drug digitalis from foxglove or aspirin from willow trees.
That's right, but those were discovered accidentally. The new sort of pH farming is about creating designer plants that can produce drugs with specific effects. Now, biotech companies are doing something like this, but it's incredibly costly, hundreds of millions of dollars. And they grow what are called biologics. They're vaccines, you know, growth hormone, cancer drugs. They grow them in cell cultures or fermentation vats. The new pharmaceutical farming will actually grow plants in greenhouses.
And this is going on right now? Drugs are being grown?
Well, they're being grown, but the technology is still only experimental. They're not approved. I did speak to one researcher, though, Charles Arntzen at Arizona State University. He says he'll have a plant-grown vaccine in human clinical trials this year. He started with potato plants, and now he's working on tobacco.
Wait a second. A drug that can make you healthy from tobacco?
Yeah, it's ironic, eh? Right now, drug companies add a little bit of viral DNA to yeast to make some of these advanced vaccines. So Arntzen figured, well, let's use plants.
if Merck could make it work with yeast, I just said, well, let's put the same gene into a plant, like tobacco or tomatoes or potatoes. And the same gene works the same way. What we then did was just took some of the plant tissue and fed it to mice. And lo and behold, the virus-like particles stimulated the immune system because we have immune effector sites in our gut. When those effector sites saw the virus-like particle, bam, we click on our immune system. And then we got approval from the FDA to take this into humans, and sure enough, the same thing works in people. You eat a raw potato, for example, that's got the genes for the virus-like particle of hepatitis B, and the human volunteers got a wonderful immune response, which is what we want for a good vaccine.
Yeah, but Helen, come on, eating a raw potato? I mean, how many of these things would I have to eat to get vaccinated?
Well, Dr. Arnston discovered you'd have to eat a potato the size of a tennis ball to get a high enough dose. But don't worry, he's now working on a simpler scheme. He takes a tiny bit of DNA with the human disease and puts that into a tobacco virus. And then he puts that virus into a tobacco plant, and it grows like crazy. And there it is, a human vaccine.
And I have to smoke it?
No, it will be harvested and made into a shot. As I say, it's still experimental, but it works. Dr. Arnson's transferring this technology to India so they can make a low-cost hepatitis B shot. And he's using the same approach to make a vaccine for the Norwalk virus.
It's the cruise ship diarrhea. It's closed hospitals in the U.S., and the cost of decontaminating, say, a hospital ward is incredible. So there's a need for a vaccine. Noroviruses do not replicate in anyone but humans. And so we found that by taking a gene out of the noroviruses, we can put it in plants, and we're now doing the experiments, and I hope, in this case, to be in human clinical trials yet in 2008 with our first tobacco-derived norovirus vaccine to test its efficacy.
You know, this all sounds really great, Helen, but there's got to be a catch. I can hear a but coming along.
Oh, yes, Steve, there's a but. It's not about what Dr. Arnston's doing, though. First of all, he's not using a food crop, you know, anything we eat. And then he's not genetically modifying a plant. He's working in secure greenhouses, so those are all protective things. But and here's the but. There are concerns about other kinds of pharmaceutical farming where scientists might manipulate genes, say in corn or rice or some other food crop. That really worries Margaret Mellon of the Union of Concerned Scientists.
So there's a lot of concern that the genes that code for the drugs are going to make their way into your food. And I think consumers are concerned about that. Food companies are very concerned about it. But they are the ones are going to be left holding the bag if breakfast cereal turns up to have drugs in it that no one wanted.
Yeah, I'd say I certainly wouldn't want a heart drug in my yogurt and granola in the morning.
Well, exactly. I wonder if you remember the Starlink corn. That was genetically modified corn, but that was only approved for animals, and it ended up in tortillas. Well, that cost farmers and food companies billions.
So what about rules for this stuff? I mean, especially after that fiasco.
Well, the Union of Concerned Scientists says there should be a total ban on genetically engineering any food plant to produce drugs. And actually, Steve, the USDA is expected to make rules for pharmaceutical farming by the end of this year.
Well, we'll keep track of that then, won't we?
Indeed.
Living on Earth's Helen Palmer, thanks so much.
Anytime, Steve.